Once upon a time, there were three little geeks who all didn't waste time going to film school. And they all got jobs in the real world. Then I came along and made them watch movies and review them for free. My name is Pig Monkey.
Good morning, Pig Monkey!
And welcome to our second episode this month of Real Geeks, where we are free of cosmic beings from the Marvel Universe trying to destroy us and hidden away from the machines, so we're probably good!
Don't invite them, they might hear you.
And we're here to discuss Charlie's Angels. And for those of you who have been watching on a regular basis, all three of you, so first of all, thank you. And second, you're well aware of the fact that I have been looking forward to this for so long. Now, this is, as Mickey and I discussed in our Gemini Man review, where that was a 90s action film done badly. Mm-hmm. This is basically a 90s action film done, I would say, well, some would say not as badly, and I would not argue with those people.
Yeah, it wasn't bad by any regards.
No.
It's just they don't make movies like this anymore for a good reason.
So, as our plot here is Naomi Scott starring as Elena Hoffman, a scientist / computer programmer / hacker. Because, again, 90s movie formula, so we have to cram the word hacker in as many times as we can.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, as someone who has seen the first season of Nash Bridges, I have seen this plot so many times.
Has there been a reboot of that?
There were reports that they were going to do it.
So we're talking the original Nash Bridges?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, in this case, Elena is the lead programmer on what is essentially the movie's Amazon Echo. Mm-hmm. That, through a design defect that makes about as much sense as the unprotected master password folder in Bad Samaritan, which I'm going to tell you right now, aside from David Tennant's portrayal of the villain in that movie, that thing is nigh unwatchable. The device, which is in this movie called Callisto, basically with a little bit of reprogramming, turns into a personalized biological EMP device.
It's in the terms and conditions of the product when you buy
it. Yeah, fine print. You have to bring in the very, 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 very may cause, you know, massive damage.
Now, also, and a bit of personal trivia here, this is a concept that I created for short stories I was writing when I was 14, which should tell you an awful lot about the main plot of this movie.
This, like, you were saying that this movie is a lot like 90s films, and I don't feel like it's really a 90s film. I feel like it's a 90s syndicated television show. This is Relic Hunter.
Yes.
This is VIP. This is all of that super cheap shit that is adorable and wonderful and ages the second it is off air.
Oh, well, and also, like, just to add to that, the way that Elena is first contacted by the Angels is, again, as 90s as you can possibly get.
Now, I had issue with that, initial contact, because, you know, you've dropped something. Well, I don't litter, so obviously it's yours. And it's just like a hotel card.
Yeah.
Now, if that were me, I would have stuck it in my purse, like, you know, my bag of holding, and it was sunk to the bottom of it. And I would have found it 6 months later when I cleaned out my purse and went, what the fuck is this? And then thrown it out. So at what point does she go, maybe I should see what this is?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you would think.
It's obviously, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's the most 90s method of launching a plot that you could think of.
I mean, they could have texted her on, like, a separate device or something.
That would have made more sense.
Like, ICQ pops up. Actually, that would have been lovely if they intentionally made it anachronistic to that level.
Or even just as something as simple as, like, a business card with a phone number on the back.
Yeah. And, I mean, you keep saying 90s, and I have to interject because I grew up with the original Charlie's Angels. Like, I was 5 years old watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And so that would be like the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's just hearing you say the 90s, it's my own internal laughter. So just.
No, fair enough.
Because this is actually a really good adaptation of that original show, isn't it?
I'm sitting here going, I'm very tempted to actually go back and rewatch the original series.
Watch one episode.
Just one. The pilot's just never good.
Oh, no. Pick the best. Like, search the internet for whoever has the biggest opinions on this shit.
And it would have to be a Farrah Fawcett one, because I remember not liking when they brought Cheryl Ladd in.
Wow. And, but, like, since you brought up the original show, I was going to hit this later, but fuck it, I'll do it now. Two things. Number one, this is an Aaron Spelling property. You do not go to Aaron Spelling properties for the stories and the writing.
Fair enough.
You don't do that.
Did you know that Drew Barrymore owns the rights to the original TV series?
Really?
Yeah.
How smart of her.
She must have bought it out when she was doing the movie.
That would make sense, because she was a producer on the movie. And speaking of the movie, one of the things that I really liked and really surprised me was that, like, I've mentioned in previous reviews about how this is a reboot. Because we had, of course, the 70s television series, the early 2000s movies, the 2011 TV series that I am the only one who remembers.
I didn't know it existed. There's like 8 episodes? Okay.
It tanked spectacularly. Oh. Even this movie refuses to acknowledge that TV series, because when we first meet Patrick Stewart, he's just finished what turns out to be his last mission as actually the original Bosley.
Yes.
He's the Bosley. Bosley 001.
They use him to tie everything from the 70s show.
But that would make sense, because he's been doing this for 40 years, and, you know, when you opened up the offices in Europe and stuff, so for him to be that Bosley totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
I think they should have done better with the photoshopped hair.
Yes.
Oh, yeah!
That was some of the worst and yet best Photoshop ever, because I want that image. It's a great image. That is so clearly just like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's
5 minutes of
Photoshop. Yeah, like,
how long has Patrick Stewart been Chrome Dome? I mean, come on.
When they put that fake rug on his head in TNG, that looked better. That looked better. And that was, like, horrible.
The first photo that they show, which is him in black and white with hair.
With the hair, yeah.
I think that's an actual Patrick Stewart photo.
Oh, no, that can't be.
That he provided himself.
That can't be.
Because
for that time frame, that wouldn't have been the right hairstyle.
No, I've seen photos and clips of Patrick Stewart with
I have
hair.
To go looking now.
And that looked about right.
Okay, we're going to flash an image of Tom Hardy up on the screen.
But the fact that they use him, like I said, to tie the whole thing, the fact that this is actually a sequel.
That was brilliant.
That was brilliant. I love that.
Yeah. And I like that they weren't, like, really heavy with it. It's there if you think about it and if you notice.
Yeah.
But it's not like, by the way! And I also kind of like how that then fixes the continuity problem of Bill Murray to, who was that? Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
It explains it.
They don't acknowledge it directly.
No.
But
if you think about it, it suddenly falls into place. They've allowed the rules of the game to finally make sense, and you can backlog everything into it.
And there's a simple fact that we don't discuss Full Throttle. Now, but this time around, our angels are Naomi Scott as Elena, Ella Balenska as Jane, who I had never heard of before this movie, but okay.
She's great.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I recognize her for something.
Probably.
I'll have to check her out later.
Either way, the simple fact, she did most of the stunts herself.
Yeah.
I respect that.
That's cool.
And Kristen Stewart as Sabina?
Who I thought I was going to have massive issue with.
I thought she stole the whole fucking film.
I did not know that Kristen Stewart was capable of having fun on camera.
Oh, or having that range of emotion.
Yeah.
Or that range of acting.
And then this movie happened.
The only issue I had with her character, not with her, not with the acting, but with her character, was, my God, what a dunce.
Yes. Yeah.
That was my only issue.
It is a character that you're looking at, and it's like, I just need a little backstory to explain how this moron ended up on this team.
Yeah, like, how did you tie your shoes this morning?
Yeah.
And then we, of course, come to Elizabeth Banks, Patrick Stewart. Okay, basically, any name actor who is not an angel is Bosley.
Yes, and they're all very good at it. Like, everyone's kind of bringing... Not a game, but definitely not crap. Everyone's
fun. Jaman Hatsu is great. He's in there for like 5 minutes.
And then we have him die off screen.
I am honestly convinced that there was a casting meeting where one casting agent was like, okay, I've got Patrick Stewart to come in and play Bosley.
Another one
is like, okay, well, I'm in touch with Jaman Hansu's people.
Yeah, we'll see which one says yes. They're not.
We
all
got a verbal confirmation on this one, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
And Elizabeth Banks is there as the director's like, no, I was going to play Bosley. And they're just like, fuck it, we'll make Bosley a rank and they'll all be Bosley.
And it just works so much better.
Does. Yeah,
it also allows that if unfortunately this film is not succeeding at the box office, so I don't think there'll be a sequel. But if they had a sequel and a series of sequels, they could just revolving door guest star. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Watching this, my frustration was this should not be a movie. This should be like a Netflix series.
I could
stretch this out. Because the whole film is formatted. It doesn't really have a story. It has a sequence of the same action event. Like the same scene repeated and repeated.
Yeah.
Of angels infiltrate. Shit goes wrong. They kick ass. They get out.
But that was the whole 70s premise.
Exactly. But break every one of those scenes into a separate episode. Give me a 6 to 8 part series. Love it.
I think also at this point we're gonna go to the spoiler part because there are so many things here that you can't discuss without going into detail. And first of all, to my mind at least, is Patrick Stewart himself.
I love him. I really do.
On the one hand. Literally, the second his first scene was over, I went,
bad guy.
See, I didn't get that. I mean, in part because I love Patrick Stewart, and I mean, he does bad guy well. I saw him in Conspiracy Theory. He does bad guy really well.
And it's a totally different character
it
as well.
Is.
Like,
holy shit. No.
Y'all, if you have seen, again, 90s, a little film called Masterminds. Where Patrick Stewart played the villain.
Okay.
And at one point, they're in a mine shaft, and he suddenly starts changing clothes, pulls on the football jersey for Manchester United, and just starts losing his mind.
Where the hell is this coming from?
Remind me about this later.
I have seen this. This is the Patrick Stewart I was praying for. And... As I said, his being the villain was predictable as hell, but...
His performance was not.
It was wonderful. This I was praying for just pure insanity.
There is a scene in this movie where he's already given like his master plan and he's gloating in a room. And you can tell, like, okay, the characters have been in this room for a while. And he randomly is like, hey, watch this. He opens a cupboard, pulls a hostage out, and then stands there laughing, going, he was there the whole time. That's amazing.
Like, yeah, like, two things.
Villain having fun. And he's having fun playing this villain having fun.
Like, two things. There was
look
a point.
The cat.
there was a point for me where I was honestly starting to get a little bored in the movie. Like, it was dragging a bit.
Yeah.
And I swear, that was the point where that boredom started to register, where Patrick Stewart pulls out a knife and fork and starts chewing down on the scenery.
Yep.
So, thank you, sir.
He flips the switch and goes, I'm the bad guy now. We're gonna do
and
this right.
Number two, now, I've seen John Travolta as the villain in The Punisher and Swordfish.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same type of cheesy villain, but this was Patrick Stewart going, sit down, John. Let me show you how this is done.
You don't try to be cool. You just you are.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I love that, man. And then when the bad guy who thinks he's the bad guy realizes that, no, Bosley is actually pulling his strings. Oh, you're my bitch now. Like, just that scene there. Like, what do you mean? No, you work for me.
Yeah, it's
not how this works.
Sam Claflin, or as I kept calling him in this movie, Michael Fassbender Jr.
Yeah.
Because, my God, that resemblance!
Oh, there was definitely a moment where I was like, no.
Yeah. No, I kept doing that every time he was on screen. And he's basically playing Jeff Bezos. Because, again, Alexa, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And He's the perfect naive pseudo villain that if you're gonna pull a twist with the villain, that's the character you need.
Yep. Yeah.
You don't do it with Elizabeth Banks.
No, because that's too obvious, too cliche. You do it with him, the guy who, and it's a great reversal of Sam Rockwell's character from Charlie's Angels, who was supposed to be the guy they protected, and he turned out to be the villain. And so it's just like you're expecting this rich asshole with the weaponized personal consumer tech to be the bad guy. And it's just, no, he's a moron. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't tell me these things. I'm supposed to have plausible deniability. Okay.
Yeah, like the main reason Patrick Stewart's being the bad guy was so predictable was because, like I was telling you guys on our way up here, his Bosley storyline is basically John Voight in the first Mission Impossible.
They staffed it. Those damn Gideons.
Yeah.
And because I had seen that movie, I'm like, I had a pretty good idea where this is going.
Yeah, but for me, it's Patrick Stewart. I'm not that cynical. The man can do no wrong.
Oh, no, he still totally can't. A lot of the plot points and things that people are going to complain about, I think when you stop and think about what this actually is, you almost have to let a lot of those things go.
Yes.
It is a good, not a waste of 2 hours. It is a good 2 hours of not having to think about things and not having to focus. And for that, I enjoyed it. It wasn't bad. It wasn't cheesy. Like I said, my only issue with it was the blonde dunce. But again, that was the character.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
she's playing that idiot very well.
See, I know stuff.
Yeah, no, like, in the references, like I think we said earlier, just so nicely subtle. Like, I would have loved, and I was kind of hoping that they would have redone the opening titles from the original TV series.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to not see that.
Especially if they had Patrick Stewart doing the narration. Y'all just imagine that, and you're welcome. But, and then there was a scene when they first go into the closet, and you see, the first things you see are Drew Barrymore's blue racing tracksuit. And the German, I can't think of the actual term, but like Oktoberfest girl dress.
Yeah, yeah, the ridiculous Lederhosen.
Yeah. And that's where you just hear the Charlie's Angels theme. It's like, okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah. I also like that they kind of did the Charlie's Angels entrance for, oh my God, I keep forgetting her name, the nerd. where they're like, here's her growing up. Here's,
yes.
here's oh, all that stuff. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's like, the theme's not there, but you're seeing the same setup. And so it, like, this is a film that doesn't try to really trick you about anything. It telegraphs everything. And from that one, yeah. that moment on, you know that by the end of this, she's going to end up with them. And it's actually kind of, it's not a smart movie, but it's intentionally stupid. It yeah. knows what it's doing to be silly. And so you're watching an origin film of an angel, and they've managed to do it without being boring and cliche and, okay, yeah. And then you go there. Yeah, and like,
there are references that are so subtle that in the back of my mind, I'm kind of going, I'm not sure if they meant to do that because I don't think this movie's actually smart enough.
If you mean the references to Sabrina, I think they were intentional.
Well, no, what I was actually thinking was, like I said, with Patrick Stewart's character, with that story, like, that could have been a Mission Impossible reference.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been entirely by accident. The scene where the angels get bombed in their hotel room,
mm-hmm.
the Drew Barrymore Charlie's Angels does the same thing where they blow up the agency. That could have been a reference. That could have been coincidence.
And at that point in time, I still had faith in Patrick Stewart.
Which, wow, they played you.
They did!
I mean,
the love that I have for this man.
To be fair, they lay it out in a way, like, you were saying before that it's a film where you're supposed to intentionally forget some stuff after it happens, and, I want to say Bosley, but that doesn't tell you who, who's the lady Bosley?
Rebecca.
Yeah,
Rebecca. So, they play it off as if she's the traitor and
yeah.
everything.
And yeah, they tried.
they try, and it kind of works. But you immediately have to forget it, because the second you find out Patrick Stewart's the traitor, Bosley, you should not be thinking, okay, but why was she doing all those things?
Because
those
she
traitor
needed,
things.
Because she suspected him.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. Like, oh, well, they've given me this really nice watch for my retirement. Here, can you check to make sure that this isn't bugged or there's no tracing device on it? No, it's all good. Now, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they show how, you know, Rebecca dropped something in his drink, and now the tracer is in him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because, and he even says, because they're on to me, or they know that I'm on to her, or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so they're setting it up so that Elizabeth Banks, Rebecca, is the bad guy. Okay, not a problem. I get this.
Yeah.
And then just plot twist. What do you mean it's him the whole time? What the fuck?
It's just, I would really like to see there be a couple of scenes where she's interacting with other Bosleys, and even if it kind of paints it as like this big Bosley conspiracy against the angels.
Well, even when she gets the phone that has the tracking app on it.
Yeah.
And they're talking, yeah. and they have just said, okay, so we're going to go to Istanbul because that's where Fleming is going. That's where the bad guy is going. We have to go to Istanbul. But if anybody asks, we're going to Brazil. And then she's outside talking to somebody in the car, and it's like, Istanbul. And I'm like, that bitch! And, you know, of course, we see the hand. We don't see a person. And then we see the hand at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Charlie. Because Charlie is now a label like Bosley.
Yeah.
And I was completely wrong about this film in the best possible way. Like, I had said to Trevor before we saw Terminator Dark Fate that with this, what I was expecting was a mashup of Mission Impossible and the Fast and the Furious franchise targeted toward women.
Which they actually do mention.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But there was...
It's so self-aware.
There was a moment, I think it was when I first saw Jacqueline Smith in that end training montage, where my brain just broke. Because I realized exactly what this movie actually is. This is the 2011-18 movie with the feminism of Captain Marvel.
Yeah. And could have used the tank route.
And, okay, one, as far as I'm concerned, the A-Team is a perfect remake.
It really is a frustratingly good film that no one...
So
no
it
one
holds
respects.
Up to the original.
It is so weirdly perfect.
This movie is so A-Team to the point that... I haven't quite decided for sure on the line from Charlie's Angels, but Share the Love, that line might as well have been this movie's, no, they're trying to fly that tank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think one last kind of like negative but small thing before we go into ratings is that when you're gearing up for the big final fight, a photo booth, I don't think is the best place to do it.
That was so weird. That was so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there are different moments of this where it's like, you're swinging for weird and silly every time, and you make it 99% of the time. That one time just stands out as like, okay.
It's
so the scene before that, where of course they show up in 70s glam and the big hair and the sparkly, and did they know that there was a dance routine there? Like,
when were you preparing this intricate dance?
Like, okay, so you can go to any country bar and everyone knows the two-step and they all know the side shuffle and stuff. I don't, because I don't go to these bars.
Yeah.
Is it like this? Like, is there an automatic, oh, this song comes on and there's a preset dance that everyone spent hours on YouTube watching to memorize all the steps? Right. Or
is it that every woman on screen is in this show. Every woman on screen is actually an angel. It's an even larger
angel. And of course, when you find out afterwards that they are all angels, you're like, fuck.
So it's like, so was there a moment when you guys were planning this operation out and it's like, here's where we have the dance number. Okay, we need everyone at the gym for 10:30 so we can get these steps down. Synchronize your watches.
Yeah,
like... I could buy them, like, they knew about the party, so I could buy knowing that they needed to have, like, the dresses and the hair and all that. I could totally buy that. The dance number, I couldn't necessarily buy it by itself, but it's like, if they had done maybe a longer, like, just a little more, I could have gone, okay, this is part of the cheese of this movie. So sure.
Yeah, and
but it's so quick that it's like,
and that's kind of,
it looked good, but I don't know why you bothered.
Right. That's kind of the joy of this film, is that we aren't upset or annoyed at this scene existing. We're trying to use the internal logic of the movie to explain how it works.
Yep.
Instead of just being like, ugh, it's so stupid. No, we're trying to be like, but what if?
Now, ratings. I think for myself, I'm honestly going to do the exact same thing I did in the Robin Hood review, where
Purple hoodie.
That movie will never get old.
Stitching.
But I'm going to say this is a 4 out of 5. But I say that this is a 4 out of 5. Where if you're rating this movie lower, I am not going to argue with you. You are not wrong. But for me, like, despite this script flaws and the fact that it drags at points, Patrick Stewart is a godsend, number one. And number two, I had seen, I can't remember if it was an article or a Facebook comment where somebody had said that this is a movie targeted at teenage girls. Apparently, I am a teenage girl because this hit all of my checkboxes.
This is targeted at 30 to 40-year-old girls, I feel. Like, that seems more... You have
those
to be
that actually probably would have watched the TV series or...
Yeah, you have to be familiar
yes.
with the show,
yes.
those previous movies. Yeah, no. Oh,
I think you could say that it's targeted at teenage girls in the same way that you could say Captain Marvel was.
Captain Marvel, I can definitely see a youth vote there.
Yeah.
Charlie's Angels, no.
In and of itself, like that again, that any, the whole anybody can be an angel thing. I think it works, but you're not wrong.
Yeah, I totally see what you mean. I think that message actually resonates more with older women.
I would totally give this a 4. I went in, I had concerns, I had worries. Because again, I grew up with Charlie's Angels and I loved the show, and I've seen the Drew Barrymore Lucy Liu version, and I was worried how this
It's gonna go full throttle. Don't go full throttle.
You never go full throttle.
But no, I really enjoyed it, and I came out of it, and my friend was there to pick me up after the movie, and I had invited her to come, and she wasn't feeling up to it, but I was like, oh my god, you have to go see this movie. You have to go see this movie. The shoot-'em-up scenes weren't obnoxiously louder in volume than the rest of the movie, which I loved, first and foremost. But it's Patrick Stewart. I cannot stress enough. Patrick Stewart.
Oh no.
I'm actually having a hard time rating this, not because I want to be lower or higher. If a rating must be given, give it a 4. I feel like my rating would actually be more esoteric than a number system. This is being showered with popcorn.
Yeah.
This is someone standing over you with like one of those 5-pound bags of popcorn and just pouring it on you, and you're sitting there going, yeah. I don't know, for some reason that's where it goes. It's being showered with popcorn.
So with that, we'll be technically on a bit of a hiatus, because as it happens, next month's films are both coming out on the same day.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, Disney.
So we'll be back right before Christmas to review Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, and Cats.
Right, we had this talk. I'm down for Cats.
This is going to be a train.
I am not watching all of the Star Wars franchise to get ready for this. I'm down for Cats.
Sorry, you have to rewatch Star Wars and you just don't intrinsically know every single shot.
See, the assumption there is that I would have to re-watch the series. I would have to watch the series. I've seen 1 through 6. I'm not watching 1, 2, 3 again.
That's fine. I was only having issue if you hadn't seen Empire. What do you mean?
I only saw them like 5, 6, 7 years ago, and that's because I figured if I most of my friends watch these movies, I should probably see what the hell's going on.
But my favorite thing in this entire exchange here, this woman has been on this show since Peppermint, and she's still censoring herself!
Earlier!
I love that when you said fucking
exuberantly!
When you said those fucking movies, your voice dropped to a whisper of fucking.
I actually swear.
The fuck do we care at this point?
I'm a parent and I'm a business person. Come on.
Oh yeah, like we really do this to make money.
The funny thing is, my kids, like, my ex, he actually censored Buffy's Once More With Feeling, Spike's song, because my daughter was there watching it, trying to fast forward. She turns around, Dad, have you met my mother? I do swear enough to put a sailor to shame.
So, on that note, since the Halcon community team is also on hiatus for now, I really have nothing to pitch. Just at the adipose.redbubble.com if you want to buy shirts. And Christmas is coming up, so really there's no better time than right now. So, unless you... I think you have stuff coming up.
I do. I will be at Have Yourself a Gothic Little Christmas, November 30th, December 1st. So that's at the Maritime Hall on the Forum, and it's a great time. You can get tickets online now. I will be there with... Oh, good Lord! Out of the Broom Closet has joined a consortium, and it's LPL Creations. So it's Out of the Broom Closet and Hats Gone Mad and Cheerful and Cheeky, all under one banner. And we will all be at Gothic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I am currently, I've changed my production schedule. So technically, there'll be an article out every second or third day on patreon.com/HereWeGo. The articles are my scripts. I'm just essentially cheating content by, here's the script as an article, then I'll record the audio for it, which I'll release as a podcast, then I'll take that podcast and make it into a video, so you can see my shit three times. But I'm currently working on a script about how Hitler fucked his niece.
Ew!
Yeah!
I should be grossed out!
But, you can't,
but I'm not surprised by this revelation. Yeah.
Is anyone surprised that Hitler fucked his niece? Is anyone surprised she was underage? No. Everything about this seems just about on top.
So, I think with that, and before I actually fall out of this chair like I almost did a few minutes ago, that's a wrap.
My face hurts.
Don't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.